Good morning, everybody. Well, at least this morning here in Finland, and brave souls, it's the middle of the night, and for those of you in Australia and New Zealand, maybe it's a more reasonable hour. This is our fourth program in the Science of Triangles webinars, you know, covering the more academic side of the subject, and it's a huge subject. Yeah, this section alone is about 100 pages, and there are many other places where triangles are discussed. So we will be having, I would say, quite a lengthy process, should we manage to stick with all this. We're in a period of world crisis. We reviewed that and the reasons for it. You know, a little review here. The welling up of force, magnetic force, it's a great second ray and fifth ray center on Sirius and stimulating the hierarchy. And the Earth's polarity is changing. Excuse me, the orientation of the Earth's axis is changing. What is the great center that's doing that? It could well be Sirius, but there are other possibilities too. The Sun has just completed a sweep of 250,000 years, along with six other major suns, I think, including Sirius. Now, there is a question about whether our solar system revolves around Sirius, and that still has to be settled. In occult circles, it is discussed, but not so much in more the ordinary scientific circles. So that's a complete zodiacal round, corresponding to the monad, and that has just recently completed, I think, somewhere around the time of the Christ, his last appearance, and so it's a huge event, and the beginning of a new cycle, and the Sun passing out of the sign Pisces and into Aquarius. This is occurring now, and not only that, but the Sun will be passing out of the greater 25,000-year cycle of Pisces called the Great Platonic Year, approximately 25,000. The actual number of years may be subject to debate, maybe closer to 26,000. And Aquarius will begin its 25,000-year cycle, but we don't know when, perhaps a few hundred years. DK tells us it's not subject to our to determination by our type of science presently, and the disintegration of the moon. These are all factors which are producing the tremendous upheaval in our world, in which the application of the science of triangles becomes so important as we attempt to move our planet and to, sooner than that, move humanity towards sacredness. And corresponding with that, we are entering the fifth kingdom of nature, at least a great many human beings, not the majority necessarily, but a great many human beings are getting ready to take the first initiation and thus enter the kingdom of souls. So great cycles are in process, and they are ending and beginning, and in such a time as this, there are bound to be upheavals, not only in our own personal life, which we can attest to, but in humanity as a whole. Now, you may remember that the last time we met, we discussed the terrible food shortages and even famine in Africa. This is not over by any means, and I think that Tuya, when she does the work on the invocation of the soul of nations, will again direct our subjective help towards those desperate situations. In the period of Aquarius, distribution will be a major theme, circulation, distribution, right distribution, and these kinds of events of glut and starvation simultaneously will not be occurring, but we have to work ourselves through the difficulties of the Saturnian decanate, the first period of the age of Aquarius, when these adjustments hopefully will be undertaken, and the tragedies that we see unfolding so unnecessarily will not occur. A lot of it, of course, is karma, and a lot of it is simply selfishness and the generation of new karma. So we will have to somehow solve this problem, and by changing the etheric network of our planet into a pattern of triangles, by bisecting the square esoterically, as Master DK said, a great teacher taught him how to do in the old days, it probably was Pythagoras, we will be aiding in the distribution of soul energy, the energy basically of love, wisdom, into the consciousness of humanity and throughout the other kingdoms, and that will change our approach towards egotism and towards selfishness, which seeks to grab all it can for the illusory little self and not care about the others who are deeply affected by this kind of selfishness. So we're going to, you know, work hard at changing that situation. And of course, we have to change it in our own lives, and we have to understand something larger about the context in which we are working. It never hurts to know the big picture, because it puts all things in proportion. And we know that when consciousness perceives proportionally, glamour is not possible. It's disproportionate perception and the misinterpretations of the concrete mind that give us glamour and illusion. So the big picture helps, and we are certainly at the beginning of this kind of study. We are studying the big picture. Now, we have gathered together, maybe there are some, something like 25 of us, we realize that we are working together as a group and invoking the light of the soul. We as souls know many of these things, but here in our personality consciousness, we don't yet. And together, we are invoking the light of knowledge, the light of wisdom and understanding, so that we may be more effective workers on behalf of humanity and in cooperation with hierarchy. So wherever we may be, we are soul infusing personalities. We're not there yet. You know, at the fourth initiation, maybe you can say that one is totally soul infused just before the causal body is dispensed with and no more needed. But we're on our way, and we communicate with each other in that way as personalities who are in the process of soul infusion, or shall we say, even more accurately, as souls in incarnation within the personality field with which we have mistakenly identified over many millions of years, and with which we are now disidentifying as we become more and more the soul, which we already are, but it's a question of being consciously so while working in the three lower worlds. And so this is group study, and all questions, all statements, all comments are welcome. And we'll see how far we get as we are working here in the beginning of these 100 pages or so, which are specifically dedicated to the understanding of the science of triangles. So, DK is going to speak in generalizations now. This is the beginning of number four, you know, our work in number four. Speaking with a wide generalization, it might be said that the three major groups of forces affecting our planet are zodiacal, you know, which are, in a sense, the constellational energies, although there is a belt, a circular belt, or a spherical belt of Devic substance, which we call the zodiac of signs. It's not the same as the zodiac of actual stars or constellations. So these groups of forces, which are, you know, triangulating with each other and on their own levels, are zodiacal, systemic, having to do with the local stars and particularly with our solar logos, and planetary in nature. Remember, there are three different types of planets, and that will be significant in terms of the triangles that are being formed, the synthesizing planets, the sacred planets, and also the non-sacred planets, of which ours is one, though it is, as Master DK tells us, it is inwardly a sacred planet, and that sacredness is working itself out into the more material expressions of the planet, just as happens with us. We may have deep inner understanding, but it takes a long time for it really to express. So again, generalizing, it might be said, and this is interesting, that the energies of the 12 constellations pass through Shambhala and are related to the first ray of will or power, and they affect the monad. Now, he doesn't always say that, you know. Sometimes he says it's the three great constellations, which are considered to be the Great Bear, Sirius, considered as a constellation and as a veil for the Little Bear, and the Pleiades, maybe the seven major Pleiades. So those are considered to be the three great constellations, and they always have a monadic impact. They affect the the spirit, the true being within us. But anyway, in general, the zodiacal constellational energies, he says, are working through Shambhala. The systemic energies provided by our solar logos pass through the hierarchy and are related to the second ray of love wisdom, as it is often called, or as it is often called in esoteric astrology. This is a wonderful statement, the ray of attractive coherency. Now, that's a great name for the second ray. And if you just ponder on that for a minute, you see how it is the force or energy which brings all things together. It's a magnetic force, not in a first ray sense, but in a second ray sense. And it causes cohesion. And in our solar system, there is a great law. It's the second systemic law, and it's called the law of cohesion. And it is related to a great second ray planet, which is Jupiter. So anyway, systemic energies are at work, bringing about through their magnetism the coherency of the whole solar system. And then there are, as well, planetary forces, which impinge upon and pass through humanity, and in general, you know, not exclusively so, because they all have their rays, they are related to the third ray of active intelligence, and they affect the personality. But we have to understand that so much depends upon where the recipient of the energy stands upon the ladder of evolution. And the planets themselves can be divided into three categories. Synthesizing planets affecting more the monad, the sacred planets affecting more the soul, and the non-sacred planets affecting more the personality. So, you know, really, wherever you find a three, you also find a nine. Because every one of the threes, every one of the members of a trinity divide into three. And I've often said too, you know, that wherever you find a seven, you find a 10, because there's always three hidden beyond and within the obvious seven. If you just think about the tree of life or the Kabbalah, you know, there you have Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina as a superior triangle above the seven, but they are considered so subjective that the seven are what are the more obvious to us. So everything depends on our state of development in terms of how we receive these energies and what we do with them. Now, as disciples, we have a special category of reception, and I'll show you in a minute pages 332 and 333 from this same book, where it tells you how the different types of human beings respond to the zodiacal, systemic, or even planetary energies which impact them. Now, just think of this tremendous array of energies of all different levels from all different kinds of beings. You know, the beings are divided, you might say, into planetary logoi. They are immense beings compared to us, and then to solar logoi, far greater than the planetary logoi, and then to constellational lords of constellations. He sometimes talks about several of them, and they are beings whose consciousness embraces a number of different solar logoi. So all of these eventually in the field of space have to be triangulated. And we're working, you know, slowly, slowly in our own planet on the triangulation of our non-sacred planet's etheric body. But already our sacred planets have a triangularly constructed etheric body. And as far as the etheric body of the sun goes, we're told that it is a pattern of circles. So we move from the square to the triangle to the circle. And this will be true of us too, as we proceed in our development. Okay, well anyway, these three, generally speaking, these three levels of energies and forces, which have to be triangulated, affect the monad, soul, and personality of the human being. And every one of us has to have some idea, some experience beyond mere words of what it means to be a personality, what it means to be a soul. And even in those sudden flashes of realization, which may not last very long, what it means truly to be a spirit. Okay, so to all of this, DK says, I've earlier referred but have restated it here as I seek to have it definitely in your minds as we go forward with our new studies, the science of triangles. Okay, you have here a major trinity of energies, zodiacal, systemic, and planetary, emerging out of a vast and incomprehensible aggregation of forces. Well, if DK calls this incomprehensible, maybe he's not only thinking of our poor ability to comprehend, but how even the understanding of that vastness eludes such great minds as those of the masters. A vast and incomprehensible aggregation of forces and energies which stand to them as the one life stands to this lesser important triangle. Well, you know, we're dealing with vast things here, but like I said, it never hurts to realize the context in which we are working. It does something to the mind that helps us put things in proportion and not exaggerate or minimize the importance of various isolated factors, but to see all these energies in proper relationship according to the great science of relations. So that is one of the great sciences to be practiced and understood along with the science of triangles. It must also be remembered that this triple group of energies produces differing effects according to the type of mechanism, you know, our physical body, mental bodies. These are all mechanisms in a way, itself dependent upon the point in evolution and the stage of development upon which it impinges. So, you know, in conventional astrology, any planet means the same for everybody. Any sign means the same for everybody. Well, it's just not true in esoteric astrology. The quality of the instrument affects the manner in which the impinging force or energy will be processed and the effect that it will have. The effect, of zodiacal and systemic force upon a sacred or a non-sacred planet is widely distinctive. Just as the effect of these energies as they make their impact upon man will depend upon whether response is evoked from the, and you know, we can be any of these three depending upon the elevation of our consciousness and the condition of our energy system, whether that response is evoked from the monad, the ego or soul, or the personality. When we use the word ego, DK uses that word, he mostly means the soul body and the consciousness within the soul body. And I try to differentiate that from the lower ego, which is the sense of the separate and separative personality. But even when the word ego is not capitalized by DK, so often he does mean the egoic lotus or the causal body and the consciousness within that. So this is confirmation that the zodiacal energies affect the three levels of man and are not simply focused on the monad. But again, you see, it depends on whether we're talking about zodiacal constellational energies or the Devic energies, which are gathered from that spherical field around the Earth and which correlate with the tropical zodiac. Aries always begins at the spring point. Well, that's not the case when we're dealing with constellations. So the constellational energies, they work through the energies of the signs, and that's how they reach us. So, you know, we can be a very elevated human being. We can be a relatively sacred human being. We can be an undeveloped human being. You know, I'll just turn here to this page, page 332 and 333 of Esoteric Astrology, and what you see is a very, very different response depending upon whether you are an undeveloped human being, an advanced human being, or a disciple initiate. I mean, just take a look at the Aries energy, for instance, and how it operates on the undeveloped human being. Blind, undirected experience. You know, this is the energy that just causes impulse, but it's not intelligent, and one just responds to the push of the Aries energy, and it is instinct. There's no real intellect there. For the advanced human being, directed personality effort, and it has to do with the stimulation of desire under Mars, but for the disciple, and increasingly so for the initiate, recognition and work with the plan. We recognize the divine plan, we understand the divine plan, we work with the divine plan, and we have cultivated will. And will is especially cultivated in this first ray sign, Aries. And so it goes, you know, take a little time, some time, to analyze this on page 332 and 333, or I've done this as well when I reviewed the whole book, and that's found on the Makara website, and I spent a couple of programs, I think, dealing with these differences of how energies impact the three different levels of human development, and we might even call it five different levels of human development. The undeveloped man, the advanced human being, the aspirant, the disciple, the initiate, and even the high initiate. So there are many categories into which we can divide human development, and there will be a difference in the way these energies impact. Now, you know, even when we're forming triangles among ourselves, everything depends on how the degree to which we are soul infused. If we are really the soul infused personality, we are going to be able to feel deeply and to transmit soul light and soul love and real sacrificial will. We're going to be able to do that. But if we're simply, you know, just beginning and not yet there, then we'll do our best with these energies, but it won't have the same kind of intensity in our little triangles network as it would have if we were really more fully developed. So let us, you know, see to our spiritual development through meditation, study, and service. Okay. All right. So whether or not these energies will impinge upon the mass consciousness, that will make a difference. That's ruled by the sign Cancer. The self-conscious unit, pretty much ruled by the sign Leo, or the illumined consciousness of humanity. And, well, that's an Aquarian factor, but many different signs of the zodiac come in when you're dealing with the illumination of humanity. So all of these energies depend upon the state of development, whether we're talking about the individual human being or we're talking about humanity as a whole. And if we get that one idea in our thought process, we will much better be able to interpret life and the conditions of life of the people around us who may require some kind of assistance. Or whether, in fact, as far as man is concerned, yes, they play upon the unevolved, the evolved, or disciples, initiates, and I just turned there to show you that. The type of mechanism and the quality of consciousness determines reception and response. That's the major sentence here, and he says it's a statement of basic importance. And until astrologers, and let's say that, you know, even Alice Bailey, she knew a lot of astrology in the larger sense, but she was not an astrologer per se. So D.K., we are told he proofread that book word by word just to make sure that it was received accurately and put down accurately. So we don't have to be, technically speaking, a practicing astrologer to take advantage of these energies and to try to understand them. So this is a statement of basic importance. And until astrologers can arrive at the point of development where the world of true meaning is open to them, and that is the world of the soul, and where the scope of their consciousness is widely inclusive, and may that be true of all of us, it will not be possible for them to be truly accurate in their interpretations of group or individual horoscopes. So much development is required on the in relation to the psychologist, the astrologer, the person who wants to understand human nature. The more we develop that understanding, the better we will be able to understand the people around us and help them fulfill their destiny. I am bringing this point up as the whole science of triangles relates entirely to subjective energies, you know, energies within the physical, as they condition the consciousness, and not with the conditions, conditioning brought about by the same energies upon the outer form, upon the physical plane. So this is a subjective endeavor in which we are now engaging. Of course, there is a type of astrology which deals with events, and events are important in how long they last and how we should deal with them. But normally we deal from the inside out. We deal from our subjective sense of things first, and that is going to condition the way we handle our outer circumstances. So I'm going to repeat this. I'm bringing up this point, you know, about the need for working in the world of meaning and the world of the soul. I'm bringing up this point as the whole science of triangles relates entirely to subjective energies as they condition the consciousness, and not to the conditioning, the outer conditioning brought about by these same energies upon the outer form, upon the physical plane, you know. And I just feel I have to kind of make that a little bigger, because it's such a important statement. And we have to learn the attitude of the esotericist and not of the person of the world, let us say, who works with only with effects and not with causes. The science of triangles is causative in its nature, and we have to become truly subjective workers in order to really participate in it properly. We have to be soul-infused personalities. Let's see here. Well, there's, you know, I've filled in a lot of this, and maybe I'll do one more. I don't want to overload us here. I will, you know, recommend that you be with us in the Wednesday broadcasts that Tuya leads on the science of triangles. So we get the practical work in, but in these occasional webinars, which deal with the larger picture and with specific triangles on the three levels of, the four levels, really, the great constellations, the zodiac, the systemic energies, and the planetary energies, that, you know, you be with us then too, to expand your understanding of the context in which you are working. DK says here, you may rightly remark that, quote, as a man thinketh, so is he. We've heard that so many times, okay? And that this expression of energy will amount to the same thing in the last analysis, but this is not exactly true. You know, oftentimes we have a statement, a saying, it's very valuable up to a point, but there are qualifications regarding it, and it doesn't necessarily cover all the truth. The response of humanity, or of the individual man, to the inner thought life and to the subjective consciousness is not immediate. This is the point. It takes much time, says DK, especially in the early stages, for an idea to work through into the mind. Now, remember, an idea comes from a different level than our ordinary mind. I wonder if I, how I could do this. You know, I usually have this particular AAB diagrams up here, and I think it's important thus to have. Okay, what does it say? Is there open with? And I'll open just with photos. Okay. But I think we can see here that the ideas come from the realm of the cosmic etheric levels. But the mind is found here within the dense physical vehicle of the planetary logos. So to work from the Buddhic plane, here it is, Buddhic plane, into the egoic lotus and thence into the world of personality and its lower mind, it takes time. The amount of time that it does take has been variously assessed. But, you know, sometimes DK seems to mention something like 14 years before an idea can really plant itself. And it will take even much longer when we deal with humanity as a whole. So in this business of the study of occultism, great patience is required. So it takes much time for an idea to work through into the mind and from thence into the brain. It has to impress the relatively unresponsive, dense cells of the brain, which are constantly improving as we do our meditation work and study work and service work. But still in the beginning, the brain is relatively dense. So there's much more in the mind than there is in the brain. So it takes a while. into the brain, conditioning the emotional nature in its progress and process. So every vehicle that it passes through on its way down, the emotional vehicle, the etheric vehicle, is conditioned by these descending beings, energies that we call ideas. Now, he's giving us something that should give us pause. Several lives may, therefore, be given to the registering of the effects of these energies upon the thought life. And the response of the physical plane life once they are comprehended. So ideas are not thought forms as we normally consider thought forms to be. Ideas are incorporeal beings which give a shape to formless substance. So first we have to formulate these things in terms of the abstract mind, and then later they come down into the realm of concretion. We're attempting to be abstract workers in the field into which the Antikarana will lead us. So there's no question in our triangle's work, the more our Antikarana is built, the more we will be able to transmit between the triangles. And when you have triangles of people who have their Antikarana already built, then the energies of the spiritual triad, the true spiritual light, the true spiritual love wisdom, the true spiritual will be able to be transmitted in the triangle's work. So he goes on to say, it is for this reason that I have stated that the science of triangles underlies the whole system of astrology and is only now in process of revelation. And we will study certain really important triangles which are conditioning everything we're attempting to do as students and practitioners of spirituality. These things are affecting us, but not completely so on all levels of our being, and that is certainly the case with the average human being. DK says, bear in mind that the effect of these energies, which we shall be considering, and of their triple relationship, will be in the realm of ideas and in the world of consciousness and its expansion, and will embrace, therefore, the sentient thought life of a solar logos, of a planetary logos, of humanity, and of man. And right there you have four major divisions which concern the triangle of the science of triangles. We are looking for the subjective effects when studying the triangles, and thus the effect of these triangles on the higher aspect of the nature of the individual and the human race. So this is not just a human thing we're dealing with in the science of triangles. It has to do with the entire planet. It has to do with the entire solar system and its progress towards that which our solar logos has already achieved, the transformation of triangles into circles. But, you know, of course, let's be patient. That's going to take a long, long time, and probably won't even happen in this particular solar system, probably in the next solar system, the sixth solar system, really, or the third major, this will occur. Okay, well, there's plenty to think about here. And I'll just finish this last little paragraph here. It will not, therefore, deal with the producing of events, that's our study of triangles, except insofar that all ideas work out into expression upon the plane of manifestation. Such working out being, I again repeat, dependent upon the quality and the nature of the apparatus of response, be it a solar system, a planet, the fourth kingdom of nature, or a human being. And these are four divisions in which the triangles are of importance. And of course, beyond that as well, but for our purposes, I think we can stay within the solar system and be relatively secure in the thought that we will have plenty to do for a long time. right here within our little old solar system, which is not yet a sacred solar system, but is on its way, just the way our planet is on its way to sacredness. So I think that's enough for right now. We'll just call this the end of a Science of Triangles number 4, and this is the academic readings. And I don't know what page we're on here. I think we're not covering a lot of pages. I guess it says page 413. And where did we begin? I suppose around page 412 or something like that, or maybe 411. Well, here it is. Here it is. It looks like 410. So we go from 410 to, sorry for the delay here, to 413. Okay. So page 410 to 413. And we'll, our next session, whenever it is, it's been sent to you, I think, and I wonder if I have it here. If I edit this, come on now, be good. Oh, it's not. Here it comes. Yes, it's April 1st, and it's 5 a.m. GMT. You see, we have to kind of scatter these programs because the USR-SRI conference is coming. So there's no way to do these extra programs while the conference, the very demanding conference, at which we would love to see you, is in progress. So this is the, we have scheduled up to July the 29th, and when we enter again in June, the month of May is pretty well gone, as well as April, we'll be going every 2 weeks. All right, so this is the beginning of Science of Triangles number 5. And page 413, and it will be on the 1st of April, 17. All right, friends, so this is a large subject, and the thoughts that come to your mind and the questions you may have, it's a wide-ranging subject, can be put forward now either as questions and statements in a written form, or if you wish to say something particularly, we can do it that way. Now I see, it looks like Rebecca is here. What's the page we're reading from? Well, there it is. Now we've got it. Okay, good. So Rebecca, you're asking here, Michael, could you talk to this quote of DK's? It is, "For this reason that I've stated that the Science of Triangles underlies the whole system of astrology and is only now in process of revelation." Let me see if I can find the reason here, because the statement is really important, and it is the most important aspect of the study of esoteric astrology, because we're going to learn how to pass from one energy center to another via a triangular formation, which will always represent spirit, soul, and body, or spirit, soul, and personality. But let's see if I can find the context. I do want to, here I have to get rid of that. It is for the, here it is. "Several lives may be given to the registration of the effects of these energies upon the thought life and the response of the physical plane life once they are comprehended." So basically he's telling us that in order for us to really be able to use these energies within the square, we have to come in touch with them on our own triadal levels. We have to bring the soul in, which is the triangle, and the true soul, which is the spiritual triad, which is a triangle. And we have to be patient in doing this, because this is a long-term process. And, you know, we cannot expect that overnight the triangle will enter the square and express itself fully. So he's advising us And he gives us in the Rays and Initiations the story of the Masonic apron with the, you know, like children, they draw the little square and then a triangle above it. It's what they call a house. So, but that's a profoundly occult symbol. And basically we're trying to bring that flap down of the triangle into the square, and it's going to take time and we have to work at it. So he's telling us that this is a labor and that we have to become soul-infused beings in order successfully to bring the triangle into the square, and that the system of astrology has to do with the reconditioning of the etheric body of the planet, really. That's the purpose of esoteric astrology, to use the energies which are impacting us in a new soul infused sense, a triangular sense, which will change the receptivity of the etheric body in such a way that we really can be a spiritual planet, but it will take patience. He's giving us one of the major motivations of the use of astrological energies to triangulate the etheric body. Not only, well, he says the whole of space has to be triangulated, that we're dealing with the field of space, but right now we're dealing with the ethers of our particular planet and maybe of some other globes in our planetary scheme, and that patience will be required to bring the triangular energies into the energies of the square. We really have to work at it. So that's how I think of it. You know, when we first start with triangles, you know, it's a very wonderful way of connecting with people and a spiritual way, and it really has an effect. But he's giving us the larger picture of what has to be done over a long period of time to render this planet sacred. Now, when this is a sacred planet, it's going to be just like Venus and other sacred planets. It's going to have a triangular etheric body. How long will that take? You know, it's going to take millions of years. It's going to, even the sixth root race is going to last 10 million years. And it's not until the fifth round, probably on our particular, within our particular planetary chain, that the initiation which will make our planet sacred will occur. This is millions of years. It's giving us the big picture of how the triangle enters the square, and we should understand our little efforts in that context and be patient about it. That's what I get out of it. Anyway, Rebecca. Okay. Now, are there other thoughts that, you know, unfortunately, I don't seem to be able, there it is. Okay. Yes, yeah, exactly, Kitos, right. I'm learning it too. DK basically has given us this, maybe someone can find the page, it's in one of the early rules, either rule 2 or 3, where he shows us the progression of the triangle over the square. And this is what every one of us is doing. We have a square that we operate in, don't we? This is the square, okay, one way of looking at it. The lower concrete mind, the unified astral body, the etheric body, and the dense physical body, that's our square. Now, the soul is threefold in many ways. It has different ways of counting it as threefold. It has the jewel and the lotus. It has the 12 petals. And it has the three members of the atomic triangle, the mental unit, the astral and mental, astral and physical permanent atoms. That's the threeness of the triangle. But from another perspective, the soul is a triangle just in its petal nature, because the 9 petals are divided into 3 groups, the sacrifice, the love, and the knowledge petals. So there's another 3 that has to descend. These various triangles have to descend into the square. And when we look at the three central petals, which come from the Buddhic plane anyway, the synthesis knowledge, synthesis love, synthesis will petals. Now, as far as how many facets the jewel in the lotus has, that's an interesting question. It's got seven facets, but eight radiations. So there's numerology there as well. But generally considered, what we call the soul is threefold, and through our normal meditation process, it descends into the square. Now, how do we feel that? Do we have more love? Are things more easy to understand in terms of meaning? Do we have a greater sacrificial will? Those are the things that will tell us that the triangle is descending into the square. But that's not the only triangle that has to descend into the square, because eventually the causal body is gone, the egoic lotus is gone, and you have the real soul, which is the spiritual triad. And that spiritual triad is marked in that way. And it must descend into the square via the Antikarana. And that's not the end. Once it does that, and once we have a totally soul-infused personality, experienced as maybe a Maya Virupa, because, it belongs to the fourth degree initiate or to the master, look at the monad. It's another triangle. And the will, wisdom, and activity of the monad must also descend into the soul-infused square. So we have much triangulation to do. And maybe when we're working with people in the world, well, we just have to think about triangles. And when we feel some kind of resonance with a couple of different people, it oftentimes presents itself. This is a natural triangle appearing for us to work together and add our little bit to the larger network. So we have to be, what can I call it, triangularly alert as we meet with people. Sometimes you're just sitting with a couple of people and it's just absolutely a natural thing that we are, meant to form a triangle. And we do. Now, it's best when you have a lot of triangles to write them out so that you can, more efficiently see and visualize the people. I used to try to hold 50 triangles in my head, and I had a pattern where I could do it, but it's much more efficient, I think, to have the paper in front of you. Okay, Rebecca, those thoughts along that line. Okay, wait a second. We have, yes, right, of course. Hold on to you. I'm going to just get to you right there. And yes, to you. Go ahead, please.
Okay, good morning to everybody. And thank you again. I was just continuing the same idea for building this important thought. When we are studying the science of triangles in the from the esoteric astrology, and then we try to apply that into the practical terms into ourselves, that we would really understand why it is so important. And you were pointing out those triangles in the constitution of man. So building process, when we think about that, we have to take a part into that Antakarana building, like the solar angel is helping us from the other side, and then we have to try to do our part. In relationship to that, I want to quote something what D.K. was saying. It is from Dinah, is it Dinah 2 or Dinah 1? Dinah 2 and something 83, from the page 83. He says that out of the apprehension of truth by many thousands in many lands, and the need for it to be put to practical use in these days of dire world need, two other modes of work were initiated, the triangles and the goodwill work. There is here no need for me to go into details and in these two spiritual enterprises, and now comes the important thing. You know them well, though only a few of you have been truly interested or thrown yourselves heart and soul into assisting. And that is very interesting that in many places DK is pointing out about that that very few are doing that work. And that has been made me thinking a lot about that. Maybe we are lacking the real understanding why it is important, because it does not seem any fancy work. But it has to be important in that sense, because he points that out often. And then I was thinking about that how one can actually recognize when that is happening. And I'm sure that we really, every one of us, we feel it when it is happening, when this triangular formation descends into the square-like formation in the etheric world. And there is the rhythm of this poise and the rhythm of sacredness, the vibration of something which comes in order, or something which is in more perfect ways. And even though we don't consciously think about it, but there it is, very quickly in our meditation work. And the more we practice that, the more it lands automatically. And I think that very many of us have been recognized, if you belong to the triangle group work or in any group that you are deciding for, into sometimes that you meditate together, when it comes through the ethers, the sense of the group, the silence of the group which takes you, or some great one who is really practicing their holy practices, like Dalai Lama. Before Dalai Lama steps into the room, the force already comes. And I think that is one of the practical ways for us to recognize when the square-like etheric field changes into the triangle formation of the etheric field.
Thank you. Thank you, Tuya. You know, Tuya may have been referring to a specific experience that we had in Estonia, in the capital city there, Tallinn, and Dalai Lama was coming to address, well, the whole city, really, in the big square. But first he showed up in one of their bigger churches, and we were all kind of waiting. And you, well, as he got nearer, you could feel the field. You know, let's just say his energy preceded his physical presence. Now, you know,
also,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
And also when we were in Washington.
That too.
Because they were starting earlier, and you could feel in yourself, even though we were in the hotel, you could feel that something had changed, and they had been starting their recitations in the hallway.
Well, you know, DK tells us that our major method of service is actually radiation. You know, we say, well, I want to serve, I want to do all these different things, and we do these things practically, manually in the physical world, but our very spiritual radiation is itself a major method of service. And we have to remember this as to why we cultivate our spiritual life, so that the soul radiation may go forth from us and affect the three lower worlds. So this is so true, and we and a number of other groups have been putting a real emphasis upon triangles here, because in the last 8 years of the era of the forerunner, we have a major responsibility. As we can see, it's a dangerous world, and some people are in power who certainly don't have a global vision that is intended by hierarchy, and we have to somehow hold that vision interiorly so that more and more people get it and do not succumb to the selfishness which can be prevalent just on the threshold of a breakthrough. Remember, you know, the dweller on the threshold, it shows up just as you're ready to break through. Well, that's happening in humanity right now. Pluto is dragging to the surface all of these long buried issues of selfishness, aggression, possession, all those things, and it's trying to block the way, but it's natural enough for this to occur, and we have to, on the burning ground of humanity, find our way through that dweller into the new type of freedom that lies on the other side of the door. We've got a big job to do, and the science of triangles will help us very much and help the hierarchy if we really apply ourselves.
Michael,
okay.
Can I say
yes, go ahead, dear. Go on. Yep.
Yeah, because the triangle work is based upon the coming new science, how he says that science of invocation.
Mm.
And I'm thinking it is in more occult ways that studying the sound and how it is affecting really the devas is something which is the basic idea behind the triangle work, that when we are setting forth the invocation in that building of Antakarana, then we force also these lower lives to reorganize themselves. Because they are, when we think about Army of the Voice, which is very sensitive to the sound, of course we have the higher sound from the solar angel himself or herself, but then when we sound as well along the way, along the notes or vibration of the higher ones, the solar angel, the master, the hierarchy, ashram. So at the same time, we really affect this lower life because they have to obey us, and they are reorganized into the different formation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a great transmutative and transformative and transfigurative, eventually, act that we are involved in, you know, applying these
exactly.
Three to the personality. Well, okay, look, I'm very happy that you were able to join us. We will have a little closing alignment if no one else has something that you want to say or to ask. I'm kind of keeping my eyes open if there are any further yes, Brett, yes. Go ahead.
Rebecca has another couple comments.
Okay. Let's see if I can, whether you're going to have to tell me what they are or whether I can get to them. Okay, here we go. So, radiatory mantra. Okay. Right. Okay. I got that. Okay. So, yeah, exactly. He's got quite a radiation, Rebecca, and he serves through that radiation. And then this radiatory mantra, may the love of the one soul focused on this group radiate upon you, my brother, and permeate every part of your body, healing, soothing, strengthening, and dissipating all that hinders service and good health. That's very beautiful. Is that from the Tibetan? It seems to have his kind of a cadence, or at least maybe it's inspired by something he said, but it's a beautiful mantra and very, very valuable when we think about service through radiation. Yeah. It's sourced in Alan Hopkins. Okay, great. Yeah, he's done a lot of really good work in esoteric healing. Yeah, it had that sort of Tibetan ring to it, and Alan has really done excellent work in spreading the understanding and practice of esoteric healing. Thank you, Rebecca. Okay, well, tell you what, now what we'll do is just have, you know, the real meditation, you might say, for the triangles work that we do is every Wednesday. And of course, we both, Tui and I, encourage you to form triangles, and don't feel that you are burdened by them, but look at it as a privilege to be able to participate in this work, which is very close to the Master's heart. So whenever that impulse strikes you and you feel the vibration with two other people, you know, be brave and bring it forward and form the triangles, and thus we will expand the network. So what we'll do now is just have a little alignment, okay? And first of all of us will realize our unity as a group here, working to understand the science of triangles. We realize our unity, that we're endeavoring on subjective levels to work together to bring in the necessary light on this subject. And we will allow a few moments of silence to think of our little triangles network, whether it's one triangle or 50 or 100, whatever you may be involved in. We think about our little network. We name, review with love in our heart and light in our mind. We review those triangles, flash them before you, flash them before your inner eye, and feel the light and love going, animating the triangles. So it's as if our little network, I mean, you know, it could take you by yourself more or less time, but we imagine our little network of triangles is illuminated, that it's real, that we have soul-infused relationships with all the people in our network. And we link it imaginatively to the larger network, spanning the globe, developing our little network, making a contribution to the larger network. And we're supporting the development of love and goodwill and spiritual light. And eventually, as we become more proficient, supporting the development of the will to good, reaching up to Shambhala as it does, and these three great beings, the Buddhas of activity, who were planetary logoi in the past solar system, it all rises to their feet, so to speak. They are the triangle surrounding Sanat Kumara. And we're building this network toward the rendering of humanity as a sacred humanity and the rendering of our planet as a sacred planet. So holding this in mind, holding these images in mind, let us all say together the great invocation. And visualizing these energies of light and love and sacrificial will and power pouring through our little networks and the triangles network as a whole. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Friends, our next meeting of this kind is on the 1st of April, and you'll use the same link. And meanwhile, of course, we have the ASK program of broadcasts, including the one glamour webinar on Friday, but, you know, dealing with triangles on Wednesday, reappearance of the Christ on Thursday, the glamour webinar on Friday, and invoking the soul of nations on Saturday. So we'll have that today at 7 o'clock. Well, not, that's our time, 5 o'clock GMT, and then attracting money for hierarchical purposes on Sunday. Very happy that you joined us. Thank you. And let your friends know about our work together, and they are most welcome to join us in these webinars and broadcasts, and go out there and form triangles with heart and soul. And he says, according to the intensity of feeling and according to the depth of the work done, so will be its effectiveness. So this discussion will be on Makara before long, and you can review it or you can tell your friends about it, and we will work forward together. Thank you very much for being here, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.